Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Zayin. We will begin on Daf Zayin. I'm an Aleph, three lines from the top. In our previous shir, the Gemara had discussed the halacha of sfeikus, that animals that we're not sure are obligated to mice or not. And the Gemara discussed that they are put together with the other animals when we take mice behema. So the Gemara begins, Amalei Rav Achim Diftele Ravina, mice sfeikus. When the Braisa spoke about animals that are sfeikus, that are brought into the deer, combined with the other animals, what does that mean? Ilema, if we will suggest that it means sofik b'chayris, that we have an animal that we're not sure if it's a b'char or not, as we described in our previous year, it means that we have a situation where we're not quite certain if the animal had miscarried previously, if that animal was a fully born animal, and therefore this animal is not a bechor or it's not. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that anything that's a sofik bechor should be included with the other animals? The Gemara asks, Yeh Kodesh Amar Rachmana, when the Torah speaks about Meiser, the Torah Kodesh uses the words Harasiri Yeh Kodesh Amar Rachmana, V'loi, Shekvar Kodesh, not an animal which is perhaps a Bechar that already has Kedusha on it. Elo, says the Gemara, we're speaking about a Sofik Pidyon Petach Hamor. As we discussed as well in our previous year, the halacha is that a firstborn donkey has to be redeemed on a Sa'ah. And the Torah is teaching us Sofik Pidyon Petach Hamor, that we have the sheep, we had an animal which we're not sure if it is or isn't a firstborn donkey, and it was redeemed on a sheep. And now we don't know, does that sheep have the kedusha of pidyon petach hamor or not? Ukrav Nachman, and our Gemara is following the, and this Bryce is following the opinion of Rav Nachman. Dom Rav Nachman Amar Bavua, Yisrael Sheesh Lo Asara Sofek Pitrich Hamor B'Toch Beisai. He had this happen 10 times. We had 10 donkeys that were firstborn, maybe firstborn, and did a redemption on 10 sheep. The halach is mafreshaleim asara sayin. We have to take 10 sheep for every petach hamor, asron, and from those 10 sheep, we go through the maisa procedure, as we described as well. We put the 10 animals, go through the door, mark the 10th animal, v'hein shaloi. But because there's a halacha of maisim chaveri olav araya, the kohen has to be able to definitively prove that these animals are indeed regular animals, and he's entitled to Maisa Behema, which he obviously is unable to do. So we go through the Maisa procedure, but as much as we go through the Maisa procedure, the halacha tells us that we then, after going through the Maisa procedure, leave the 10th animal, leave it with the owner. Agamara has introduced and discussed the halacha of a Sofik Pidyon Petach Hamor. The Gemara just told us, the Gemara in our previous year discussed the halacha of a Kohen who sees the Sofik Bechor or a Sofik Pidyon Petach Hamor from a Yisrael. So now the question is the Kohen allowed to keep it or not? So the Gemara in our previous, the Gemara says that a Bezdin confiscates deceased animal from the Kohen and gives it back to the Yisrael because of the halacha that we just said, Hamotz Mechaveri Olav Araya. But it's interesting, when we look at the Rambam who quotes these halachas, the Rambam brings down this halacha only in the case of our Gemara, where we have a Sofik Petach Hamor, where because of the halacha Hamotz Mechaveri Olav Araya, it's given back to the Yisrael. However, the Rambam, when he speaks about a Sofik Bechor, paskins that tokfei koin, if the koin seized it, emet siim b'yadoi, we allow him to keep it. So the Tshuvas HaRashba tries to explain why does the Rambam differentiate between a Sofik Bechor and a Sofik Pidyon Petach Hamor. He says that a koin who seizes a Sofik Pidyon Petach Hamor has to return it because the Yisrael has a cheskes marakana kama. He is the original owner of that sheep, and as long as the kohen is not able to break that cheskes marakama, it remains in the property of the Yisrael. However, says the Tshuvas Rashba, in the case of a sofk b'chor, there is no sof cheskes marakama for the kohen, because at the moment that the b'chor is born, it's immediately designated to belong to the kohen. Only now, because there's a suffix, are we not sure that it should belong to the kohen. And therefore, says the Rambam, by suffix b'chor, we allow the kohen to keep it. Here we learned that, as we learned at the end of the previous year, siri vadi amarachmana v'loya siri suffix. By suffix, and we started with that at our shir today, we don't combine it with all the other animals. There's a very interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. We know the Torah says, and the Pashup Shad is that once somebody is 70 years old, there's an obligation to stand up for that person. What is the halacha if we have an individual who, of course, we don't know his age, and he may be 70 years old or not? Do we have an obligation to get up for him? So some explain that, of course, we have to get up to him for him, because the din of getting up for a seiver is a din d'oraisa, as we just quoted the pasuk, and therefore it's a sofek d'oraisa l'chumra, and we have to get up. The Reb Chaim Kamievsky says that we have two reasons not to assume that way. He says, number one, he says that because we have a chazakah that he wasn't 70. A person has a chazakah that he's not 70 years old until we know for sure he's 70. And moreover, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, most people are not 70 years old. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, in the Shalos Tshuvos Silmas Chaim, just like we learned in our Gemara, Asiri, v'loy Sofik Asiri, so too do we explain the Torah of the Seva Tokin, Vade Seva, when we know for certain the person's a Seva, v'loy Sofik Seva. And therefore we're not sure if the person is a Seva, says Rav Yosef Chaim, we don't have to get up. However, Rav Ozna, the Shalos Tshuvos Shevet Alevi Chelik Hei, Your day is Simon Kuf Lamed, goes back to the point that we just made, and he says that since the obligation to get off an elderly individual is a chiyuv deraisa, so we have a sofik deraisa, and the halacha is sofik deraisa l'chumra, and if we're not certain, we should get up. In our previous year, the Gemara began discussing about the mesusa, the bathhouse, and we weren't sure who. Two people were arguing over the bathhouse, whose is it? So ask the Gemara, my havala the mesusa. So what is the halacha regarding the mesusa? Toshma adam Rav Chibar Oven, have of the bay Rav Chizda. There was a question that was posed in the yeshiva Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda bay Rav Huna, and that question was posed to Rav Huna. Uposht mihadam Rav Nachman, komak moman, shen yochel atzia bi dayonim, that we don't have dayonim that could verify what is the halacha. The halacha is like Desha and the Kaddish. It's not considered in his ability to be magdashit. Says the Gemara, ha, it means, ha-yachal atzir b'deyonim, if he was able to bring Edom, and therefore win a dentira, the halacha is Hagdisha Kaddish, afgav delay afgay. It seems that the Gemara is teaching us that even though he didn't take ownership of it, the fact that he could take ownership, the Gemara is suggesting, is enough for him to be able to be magdishit. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Gozal, if somebody stole something, v'loynus yash or balim, and the owners haven't yet been miyash. So since the owners have not been miyash, it's not considered the property of the person who stole it. The halach is, shneim eni chalongdishit, neither of them can be magdishit. Zeh, the gazlin, can't be magdashit. Lefishen shaloi doesn't belong to him. Mizeh, and the victim, lefishen b'shusoi. So we see that if it's not in your physical possession, you can't be magdashit. Answers the Gemara, mi savrit masus metaltlin eskinen. We're not talking about metaltlin. What halacha is that if you don't physically possess it, you can't be magdashit. We're talking about mesusa mekarkes kinen. It's a, connected to the ground. It's a piece of real estate. That the halacha is, real estate is much more difficult to steal because the real estate is wherever it is. And since the real estate is wherever it is, that's why the halacha is that if you could prevail in the entire, that's why it's Breshus HaKayim, it's considered yours, and you could be Magdishit. Says the Gemara, Tana Rav Chalifa Bar Marava Kamei de Ravua. Shnei Madukim Talos, if two people are holding on to a talos. The halacha is, if two people are holding, so before we go further, and we have to speak about this halacha, about Gozovol and Shashu Abalim, you can't be Magdishit, because it's not mine, and the other one doesn't have possession. Big machloikus rishonim. What type of kedusha are we talking about? What type of hegdish are we talking about? We know that when we speak about hegdish, there are two types of hegdish. There's kedusha stomim, and there's kedusha haguf. So says the Rivash, when are these halachas that if I don't actually own it and have it in my possession, I can't be magdish it? That's regarding kedusha stomim. But a kedusha haguf, even if I don't have it in my possession, if I'm doing kedushas aguf, then the halacha is I can be that means like being magdish an animal for carbon. I can be magdish it even though I don't have physical possession of it, because he says the pasuk that teaches us this halacha that you can only be magdish something that you own and have in your possession is talking about kedushas tamim, but not kedushas aguf. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that even by it doesn't make a difference, Kedusha Stomim, Kedusha Saguf. If you, the halacha is to be able to be Magdashit, you have to own it and have possession. And the Tosfos really explains that this machloikis is connected to another machloikis. We know that the halacha throughout Shas is Ein Adam. You can't sell something that doesn't come in existence. There's a halacha that kedusha stamim cannot be effective on a davar shelo b'loilim. Kedusha saguf can. So we see that we have this distinction, and therefore says the Ktzais, that's the basis for the Rivash's opinion. The question that the Achronim also discuss, when we're saying now that if something I don't own and have in my possession, I can't be Magdish, is it because it's an issue in the person who's being Magdishit, that my Hegdish is not able to be effective if I don't have both of these conditions met? That's one way of understanding this Gemara. The other way, it means that Hegdish is like a Kinyan. And a Kinyan, we know, always requires Gemira Stas, that I should be serious and confident with my act. Here, where I don't own it and have it in my possession, it's lacking in that Gemira Stas. Or, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Chanan, some say that it's an issue in Hegdish. I can't transfer something to Hegdish. Hegdish cannot receive something from somebody that doesn't meet both of those criteria. Says the Gemara Tanri, Rav Techlifa Mamarova. Two people are holding on to the talis and arguing that it stares. So the halacha is zenoy till ad makom shiyada magas. This one could hold till takes until where his hand goes. For zenoy till ad makom shiyada magas. For shar and the pot in the middle, chokim b'shava, they divide equally. That's the din of a mishnah. Says the Gemara, machvei rabavua. So is this halacha was taught in the yeshiva? Rabbi Vua indicated that, as we learned, a shvua is required. The question is that why did the Achronim ask, why did the Gemara have to indicate mach shar cholken b'shava? If it would have said shar cholken, it would be obvious that it's divided equally. What is the word shava? So the Achronim answer, as we're going to learn later, when we divide it, and we divide it equally, it's not just dividing it half and half. It has to be divided in a way that each one of us get the half that we get half the value. That's why the Gemara says the Hashar, the Shar b'Shvuah. There's also a very big machlokes Rishonim. When the Gemara says Hashar b'Shvuah, what is the Shvuah on? Is the Shvuah on the pot that I'm holding? Or is the Shvuah only on the pot, or the Shvuah only on the pot that I'm not holding? Some Rishonim say that the point of the Shvuah is to give us shares in the pot that I'm not holding. And some suggest that I even have to swear on what we're holding. Elamas nisin d'ktani the palgiv adadi. Asked the Gemara that our Mishnah that said that they divided v'loik tanezer noitel ad rakav shod megas heichem mishkach slo. What is the case of a Mishnah where the Mishnah didn't say the halachat shod megas? Answers the Gemara amra papa the tafsu bekash heshtop. Our Mishnah speaking that there are fringes at the end of this garment, and each one of us is holding on to the fringes, but the entire garment is not being touched by either of them. Since the entire garment is not being touched by either of us, that's why the Mishnah could be speaking about a case that we're holding we're dividing the entire talus. Whereas when we're not dividing the entire talus, because Atchiyada Shemakam Agas, their halach is that each one of us only first gets Atchiyada Makam Agas until where I'm holding, and then, and only then, do we divide the rest. Amar Mishasha, Shema Minot, that everybody keeps what they're holding. Hai Sudra, that we know that one of the most common types of kinyonim, ways of affecting a kinyon, is a kinyon sudar. So it says the Gemara, when we use a suda, which is a kinyan chalipin, the halach is kiven the toughest bar shalosh al shalosh. If somebody grabbed on to a piece of material that's 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, karina bar, then we have fulfilled the obligation. We were able to do a kinyan. The nos l'reya, because we gave something of significance. The command the kamasuk dummy for kani. That's the way the kinyan is done, symbolically, by me giving something to the other party. This actually is the subject of a very important question. Here we're saying that in order for a kinyan to be valid, kinyan chalipin, it has to be something that's 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. What would be the halacha when you have a gartel? Many people use a gartel for kinyanim, and the gartel is not necessarily 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. Why is it a valid kinyan? So the Klaus Magreb is a tzal, and the Shalsa Chubas Divra Yatsiv, Chosha Mishpat Simnachov Hei discusses it, and he basically takes two approaches. One approach is when something is a beged, when something is considered a garment, it's immaterial how large it is. The fact that it's a garment gives it a chshivas, gives it significance. That's one approach. The other approach is that the kinyan that's done by a wedding is not your typical kinyan, that you're selling something and therefore it's adequate. The nafgamina would be if we're using kinyan chalipin to do a full-fledged sale. If we say that it's considered a garment, so we could use a gartel. Otherwise, maybe not. Umay Shno asked the Gemara, why is this different? Damar Rav Chisda, get biyada. If somebody is giving his wife a get, umeshicha biyadai, and he has something in a string attached to that get, im yachal anat goy levi etzloi, if the Torah HaKadosh says that when you give a get, it has to be for nosan biyada. Now, if you're still connected, but with the string, ain megreshes, vimlav megreshes. So we see that as long as you could get it back, the halacha is that it's not considered that you've given it up. So here we're saying, even whatever each one of these parties is holding, even though it's obviously one garment and it's still connected to the other person, it's still whatever is in my hand is considered mine, even though it's still, I could schlep it away. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from a get. Because by a get, the Torah says, krisis binin, that the get is supposed to accomplish that the husband and the wife are completely separated. And when the get is still connected to the husband, they are not completely separated. However, v'leka, hocha, what's required is nesina b'inan. As long as there was a proper transfer, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, even though each one of us still connected to this talus, it could still be considered that both of us. The Mefarshim point out that the pasuk that concludes the Torah says, L'chol ayor chazaka, l'chol maya gadla ashos moish le'en ikol Yisrael. And Rashi explains, L'chol ayor chazaka, shekibol es al Torah beluchash b'yodav. He accepted the luchas. What does Rashi mean that b'yodav? He got the luchas into his hands. So, Reb Nosson Gishtetner quotes the Yerushalmi in Masechta Tainus Perek Dala Halacha Hey. He says that the luchas was 6 tfachim long. And the Gemara says there that Moshe was holding 2 tfachim of those luchas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding 2 tfachim. And there were 2 tfachim in the middle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klai Yisrael made the eagle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to grab back, Kaviyachal, the luchas. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not allow it. And that's what the pasuk says, L'chol chayot chazaka. The question is, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising Moshe Rabbeinu for having done so. What's pshat in that medrash? So he says that he quotes our Gemara, where we have Shnaim Adukim Metalis, 2 people are holding on to a garment. Zen Neutel, and we just learned that the Gemara says, Zen Neutel Ad Mokim Shiodam Agas, the Zen Neutel Ad Mokim Shiodam Agas, the Shar Cholkim B'Shova. So he points out that by a garment, and we're going to speak about this more in a moment, you could divide a garment. But a Torah, we have 1 Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima. The Torah could be not divided. And what is the halacha by something that can't be divided? So he says that the halacha by something which cannot be divided is called the Olam Gvar. Whoever is stronger is the one that prevails. And what Moshe Rabbeinu showed when he grabbed onto the luchas, he explains, is that it was Moshe Nefesh. He showed how critical receiving the Torah was to him. What does it mean, how critical it was for him to receive the Torah? It was that Moshe Rabbeinu was showing that there's nothing more important. He's ready to give up everything, as we know, and it says in Parashas Kisisa that Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'mayin mecheni na mesifrcha, he was ready to give up his life. And because Moshe Rabbeinu showed that incredible mesiras nefesh, biyodov, he grabbed on to the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises him, and that is how he ultimately, Kaviyachol, prevailed over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is how at the end the Torah was given to him. Amar Rava continues the Gemara, Im Hoysa Talis Mehuzeves, if the talis had gold strip on it, the halacha is Cholkim, we divide that talis. Ask the Gemara Pshita, isn't that what we've been learning? That when 2 people are grabbing onto a talis, they divide it. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha, the Koy David Bemitzia. The gold strip is in the middle of the teretz, in the middle of the talus. In fact, Gemara, so if the gold strip is in the middle of the talus, so Hanami Pshita, isn't that what we've been learning? That we divide it equally? It says the Gemara, Leitzricha, the Mikravil Gabachad. That it matters how you hold the talus. And if you hold the talus in a certain way, it may be closer to one of those 2 people. So Madutema, so we might think under those situations where one can make a claim the gold strip is closer to me. Madutema Domele, that person can make a claim plug hachi divided this way. Kamash Malon, Domele, my chazit the paga hachi, don't divide it that way. Plug hachi. And says Rebbe Chanan in explaining this Gemara, what this Gemara is teaching us is that since each one of us is holding on to the talus, so by the fact that each one of us is holding on to the talus, that is clearly an indication that we are, each one of us is a full owner, and therefore a counterclaim is, so to speak, ignored. It says, Matan Rabbanan, Shnaim Adukim B'Shtar, if 2 people are holding on to a shtar. And the Ritva makes an interesting observation. Al Masechta began with the words, Shnaim Oichsin B'Talus. And here it says Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar. So some Rishonim actually suggest that the word Oichsim and the word Adukim are interchangeable. But some say there's a difference. The word Oichsim is used where what they're holding on to has value. Shnayim Oichsim Metalis, the talis, the garment, has value. The word Adukin, on the other hand, is used by something that doesn't have intrinsic value. A shtar is something that doesn't have intrinsic value. It only represents. And therefore, the halacha is, says the Gemara, tonight, time, Adukin b'shtar, two people are holding on to the shtar. Mal v'omer, shalihu. I didn't get paid. The halacha is until the mal is paid, he holds on to the shtar. V'nofim m'meni. And I found it, and I dropped it. A mitzosav, and now I picked it up. The loiva amar, and the loiva says shochahi, it was yours, uprati lecha, but I paid you back. And that's why the halacha is when the shtar is paid back, you give it to the loiva. So the halacha is yiskayim hashtar b'chaisamav. We bring edim to do kim hashtar. There are a number of ways of doing kim hashtar. If the edim who are signed on the shtar testify they signed, or we have people that can verify their signatures, divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon ben Galila Aymer, yichloiku, it's divided. And this is a very interesting Gemara, because we know that Rebbe was the son of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And here we find that Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel are disagreeing. So the question is, can a son and a father disagree? And the Michs HaLazer has a discussion about this in Chelik Dalid Simen Vav. He makes a number of points. He wants to suggest that maybe a son and a father cannot argue when it's only in a situation where it's not lahalocha, or maybe where it is lahalocha. Maybe there's a difference before of, in front of him, versus shloi before of, not in his presence, but at the end, the Michs HaLazer, based on a simple reading of our Gemara, seems to say that from our Gemara we see that a son could always argue with a father. But then there's an interesting question. Why is Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's the father's opinion, stated after Rebbe's opinion? Shouldn't his opinion be stated first? So I saw the Mefarshim answer, because since the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, so the Gemara always wants to state the prevailing opinion second. And therefore, even though Rav Shimon Gamliel was the father, that halacha is that the son, his opinion was stated second. Next case, Nafli Adayin, but let's say Dishtar, which there's an argument over, is in the hands of the Dayin. The halacha is Layotze Lomis. The Dayin holds on to it until we could determine what should be the halacha. The halacha is that the malva could collect with the shtar. And now the Gemara analyzes this machloikus in the Braisa. Amar, Rebbe's opinion was yishtayim shtar b'chesomav. And once the malva is able to accomplish kim shtaris, the govalei malva kulei, the halacha is that the malva can now collect completely. Let's lay masnisin, ask the Gemara, but why is this any different than what we learned in our Mishnah? What we learned in our Mishnah, Shnai Marks Metalis, Zaymakul Shali, Vizaymakul Shali, Yachlaiku. So why shouldn't that be the halacha here? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Rav Nachman, says the Gemara, the way to understand the machlaikis, that it shouldn't be contrary to what we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Rava Rav Nachman, the Mekuyim, if the star is a star Mekuyim, should be divided. It's the classical example of what we began with of Shnayim Oichs Metalis. Ki pligi, ein mekuyim. The question is, when the shtar that was that arguing over is not mekuyim, Revi's opinion is, moed b'shtar shekosvei. Even though the loiva agrees that this was a legitimate shtar, tzorach l'kayma, there's still a halacha that it has to be mekuyim. And therefore, imekayim, if the malva is successful in getting kim shtaris on the shtar, then polig, the halacha of our Mishnah of Shnayim b'chesim metalis will kick in. V'loy mekayim, but if he can't be mekayim the shtar, then loy polig. Then the loyva could say that this shtar is invalid, and even though he didn't say so, the malva won't be able to collect. My tama, because the shtar, if it's not mekuyim, we look at it as chaspa b'almahu, it's a meaning piece of paper. Man kamashvel el hashtara, who's the one, the only one that's making the shtar into a valid shtar? The loiva, by admitting that the shtar at one point was a valid shtar. But he also at the same time is saying, he's also saying that it's paid up. And therefore, since the shtar is not mekuyim, we believe him when he says so. And even though shnayim oichsim b'shtar, it's not collectible. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, that once the loiva was moida, that the shtar was a legitimate shtar, ain't tzorch l'kayma, there's no aloch of kiyum. Avgav d'loy m'kayim, and therefore, even if we don't accomplish kiyum, the aloch is yachloiku, it should be divided. I saw that the Noam HaLimelech explains this Gemara through with a remes. He says, the person who's moida b'shtar, a person is moida that he did averis, ain't tzorch l'kayim. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for a person who did Averis is to admit that he has done Avera. Moide b'shtash, if somebody's moide that he has a shtar choiv, that he's done Averis, that ain't tzarech l'kayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to punish him because this person is already on the way to do tshuva. We learned further in the Braisa. Nafali Adayin, the shtar over which there is this dispute, fell into the hands of the Dayin. The halach is, Lo Yitzio, Elamus, the Dayin has to hold on to it. Says the Gemara, Maishno Liyah Dayin. Why are we singling out a Dayin? Asked the Gemara. Amar Rav HaChachamer. Acher Matzah Shtar Shenafal Liyah Dayin. Says the Gemara, if a person that is not the Loiva the Malva, that found a Shtar, that fell into the hands of the Dayin, and stops the Gemara. Ve'echi Dami, what does that mean? The Kasebe Hengpuk. When a shtar is mekuyim, the certification is called a hempik. And the bezdin was mekayim the shtar. The loch is lo yitzio olamus. This shtar that was now found that was mekuyim by a third party should remain uncollected until one party could prove its base. V'loy mibaya, says the Gemara, and the way to understand the braisa is as follows. Loy kosubay hempik. If there's no hempik on the shtar, then there's certainly an argument can be made. Diklameimer, one could say that kosov lilvois v'loy loiva. There was a question, they were intending to lend money, and then they changed their mind. Ella, we're learning here, a feel of kosov by hempik, even though a hempik was written, so that made that the shtar was mekuyim, and the fact that the shtar was mekuyim is clearly an indication that the shtar was once used. We still leave it because chashinon, we need to be concerned, chashinon, the peroin, that it was paid up. Rav Yaisi, we learned in the Brisa says that if the dayin holds on to the shtar, the shtar is considered a completely valid shtar, and we need not be concerned that it was paid up. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That throughout Shas, Rabbi Yossi is not concerned that maybe it was paid up. But Tanya, ask the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa. We find a ksuba in the street. Bezman Shabal Moida. If the husband admits that he has not paid off the ksuba, Yach Salisha. The halach is it should be given back to the wife. Ain't a Baal Moida. But the husband is not admitting that it hasn't been paid up. The loch is loyach, loylazev, loylazev. We leave it. We don't give it back, not to the husband nor to the wife. Rabbi Yossi Omer, oy the taxpala, if they're still married, lisha, we give it back to the wife. Because we don't assume that as long as they're still married, that he would have paid up his shtar. This amulon is gash, but if their marriage was terminated through a divorce or through the husband dying, loyach, loylazev, loylazev. Because we're worried that it was paid up. But what we see from here is that Rabbi Yossi is concerned for Peroin. So what are we saying? That Rabbi Yossi is not concerned for Peroin. Says the Gemara Epech. We have to reverse the opinions in the Braisa. Nofali Yadayin, Lo Yitzio Lomis, Devi Rabbi Yossi. We leave it because we're not sure if it was paid up or not. Chamayimrim, Harei Cheskosai. We leave it as if it's not paid up. But ask the Gemara, we have Baruch Hashem successfully resolved the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. But now we have a question. Kashad Rabbanan, a Rabbanan. The Braisa, we learned that a shtar that was found by the Dayan, the Chum are not concerned for Peroin. And by Ksuba, we say that we are concerned for Peroin. How do we reconcile the Rabbanim? Says the Gemara, the way to understand that Braisa is not that there's a machloikus. The shtar Ksuba Kula Rabbi Yossi, the Tai Braisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Ksur Mechser Vachaktani. The way to understand the Braisa is as follows. If the husband doesn't admit that the shtar, that he paid off the ksuba, that he still owes the ksuba money. Rather, he claims that he paid off the ksuba. The loch is layachsa laylazeh v'laylazeh. B'madvar mamurim, shenis armel and his garsha. There is reason to believe the husband when he says he paid it up. However, oida taksbala, if she's still married, yachsa isha, we give it back to the wife. There's no reason to assume that he paid off the shtar, because Kerev Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oida Tachspala is she's still with her husband. Yach Selisha, we give it back to the husband. This Amalan's Gasha, where there's a reason to believe the husband when he says that it was paid up, that Loch is Lo Yach Selaylazev, Loylazev. Our Gemara here uses the words of Chsuri Mechsra Vachitani. So I saw that the Panovich Rav asks, why when a Braisa is stated, Chsuri Mechsra Vachitani is often found in Shas. And the question that he asks is, why was a Braisa stated in such a way that's incomplete and that we have to figure out what it means? So he says that the Gemara Masechta Gittin teaches us, Dvarim Shebeksav, Iyat Rishoyim Lomer Malpeh, V'dvar Shebalpeh, Iyat Rishoyim Laksav. So we're learning Torah Shebalpeh. And the hallmark of Torah Shebalpeh is that it's Torah Shebalpeh. It's not supposed to be committed to writing. Why is it allowed to be written? As the Gemara explains, Rebbe saw that people were forgetting the learning. Eis lasis lashem haferu tarasecha. And that's why Rebbe instituted that we could write. But whatever we could write could only be done in the most minimal fashion. And since it could only be done in the most minimal fashion, where we don't have to write it entirely out, we say chesurei mechsure v'halchiktani, that it was written in the most shorthand way. And the Ramam Mipanu points this out, that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim says chamuche yerechayich. The word chamuche yerechayich means that you're hidden. He says the word, the Rashi Tevis of chamuche, it's chesuri mechsur v'achitani. And that's a remez to this concept that Dvarim Shebalpeh, Torah Shebalpeh, is written in the most concise fashion. Now, the Gemara gives another answer. Rapapa Malayim Tepech. Again, our question was, here we see Rabbi Yossi is concerned for Peroin, here we see he's not concerned for Peroin. Says the Gemara that the second Braisa that says that Rabbi Yossi is concerned from Peroin is Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan Kamalai. Rabbi Yossi is addressing the Rabbanan. Lididi, he says, I feel in this amulet garsha, even if the marriage was terminated, nami lechashin leperoin. Lididhu, that you, he's addressing the Rabbanan, oidli mias, that you are concerned that maybe he paid it up, that in a case where they're still married, but oidli takas bala, in that case, you should agree the yach selisha, that the ksuba should be given back to the wife. The labas peroni, because she wasn't able to, it wasn't yet the time for her to get paid. A woman isn't entitled to a ksuba until the marriage ends. Vomale Rabbanan. And how did Rabbanan respond to Rabbi Yossi? How did Rabbanan defend their opinion? Eimetzori atrasei. Maybe the case is that the husband told the wife, I'll pay you out your ksuba, even though I'll pay you out your ksuba, even though we're still married, and therefore we're choshish for peroin. Ravinama gives a different teretz. Loilam epech kamaisa. We turn around the frois braisa. The aloch and Rabbi Yossi is the one that's concerned for peroin and not the chamim. The tam of the rabbanon hacha. Why over here, if the rabbanon are not concerned for peroin, don't we give back the ksuba to the wife? Shem dechshinim l'shtei ksubas. Maybe there are two ksubas. The woman had a ksuba, and she lost it. She came home, she said she lost it. Her husband therefore, wrote her a second ksuba, that she was really holding on to the first ksuba, that she could play this trick. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, Philistei ksubas lechashi, we're not worried for that situation. Amar Rabbi Elazar, says Rabbi Elazar, the machlokes that we had between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe, if the Malv and the Lev are both holding on to the shtar, the machlokes that we divided, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel opinion is we divided, is b'shishneim, in order to understand this Gemara, we have to describe every shtar. Every shtar has a typhus and a tariff. The typhus is what we would call the boilerplate, and the tariff is the specifics to the shtar. Says the Gemara, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion that we divide the shtar equally is b'shneim adukim b'tayfus v'shneim b'tayrif. They're both holding the typhus together and the tariff together. But, says the Gemara, achad b'tayfus, and one's holding on to the typhus part of the shtar, v'achad achad b'tayrif, zed naitel typhus, v'zed naitel tariff. Each one, it takes what they're holding on to. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan says, loylem chalkim, we always divide it, we'd always divide it 50-50. Says the Gemara, how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Asked the Gemara. Does Rabbi Yochanan say his opinion, even in a case of Echad Odik B'Toifis, Echad Odik B'Toirif? But haven't we learned early in our shir, asked the Gemara, that the Braisa taught us, Zed Noit Lav Mokum Shad Magas, that each one of us only take to where we're holding? Says the Gemara, Laitricha, they're arguing the Katar B'Mitzi, that the Tarif is in the middle, and neither of us is holding on to the tariff, and therefore that we're each holding on only to the typhus. The top of the shtar is boilerplate, then the bottom of the shtar is boilerplate. That's what these two people, the Malva and the Loiva, are holding on to, and the tariff is in the middle, and neither of us is holding on to it. Ask the Gemara Hachi, if neither of us is holding on to the tariff, both of us are just holding on to the typhus, so of course we divide it equally, Maila Memra. Says the Gemara, the mikra, it's closer to one of us. Matatema omale, that since the tariff is closer to one of us, I should be able to make a claim, ploig hachi should be divided that way. Kamash Mulan, as we learned earlier in our shir, whenever either the parties that's holding on to it is able to make a successful argument, that the equal division is accomplished by dividing it a different way, that is a consideration that we have to accept. Amalei Rav Achman Diftel Ravina. L'Rabbeloz Dama Zed Noitel Taifas Zed Noitel Taifas Lomeli. If the Gemara asks, so we're saying one's holding the Taifas and one's holding the Taifas, so the halacha is that each one gets what they're holding on to. So ask the Gemara, v'chilotza atzor plichas, the Gemara is suggesting now that the significant part of the shtar is the tariff. So the person that's holding on to the typhus is not really holding on to anything of real significance. So what is he arguing for? He wants to use it to cover his battle? Amalei l'dame. There is a value. Dame hachi, shtar dis bezman kamishavi. There's a star with a date and there's a star without a date. Or less beizman kamashavi. There's a difference if it has a date. Star de isbeiz, what is the difference? Because a star of the isbeizman, a star that has a date in it, govi mishabdi, you collect from nechosim mishabodim. Vidach loy govdi mishabdi, yovlei hanach de beini beini. To explain the Gemara. In this way Rashi explains the Gemara. He says that the typhus and the tariff are really both equal in value. The reason that they're both equal in value, says Rashi, is because the entire subject of the shtar is repeated in the last line of the shtar. So everything that's in the tariff is in the typhus as well, because everything is repeated in the last line of the shtar. The only thing that's not repeated is the date. And what is the difference if a shtar has a date versus a shtar that doesn't have a date? The difference between a shtar that has a date versus a shtar that doesn't have a date is that if a shtar has a date, we could collect assets if the person who owns the money, the loiva, who who owes the money doesn't pay back, the halacha is you could go after people who he sold assets after he took the loan, if it was a shtar shesh b'achrayis, if it's a shtar that has that clause. And that suggests the Gemara is there, and that suggests the Gemara is the basis of the difference between the typhus that doesn't have a date and the tariff. And the Gemara is saying when you're selling shtaris, obviously a shtar with a date has more value than a shtar without a date. And that makes the difference. The person who has the shtar with a date, the part with the date, has a more valuable document, and that's going to be what he's entitled to collect versus the part, the one that doesn't have the date. Says the Gemara, that we said that when two people are holding on to the shtar, we divided the demei. What we're saying is the value of the shtar. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that we should divide the shtar, when two people are holding on to a talis, says the Gemara, doesn't mean we just literally divided. Hanami the palgi doesn't mean that we literally divided. Half sedua, a half a talis doesn't have much value. Says the Gemara, holy kasha, that's not a question. Sometimes you have a very big piece of material and the chazya. Says the Gemara, va amar rava, haven't we learned earlier? Shem haisatas mazavas chalkim. How do we say that there's a strip of gold we divided? Hafsadua says the Mahalai Kasha, the Chazal b'nei Melachim, that young children could use this divided talus. We've spoken our Mishnah about two people riding on a horse and they're arguing on it. Hachinami the Palgalai doesn't mean that we divided. Hafsadua says the Gemara Bishlama, when we're talking about a kosher animal, Chazi Labasa, we could divide it because it could be eaten. Ela Tameya, but a non-kosher animal that could only be used for working, if we're going to kill it and divide it, Hafsadua, Ela Damei. It must be that division means we sell it and divide the mummy. From here too, we see that in all the cases that we speak about dividing something, we mean to sell it and get the value. But the Nesivus, quoting the Trumas Edeshin, says that when is that the halacha? If the by dividing it, we'll lose up to 20%. But if we don't lose up to 20%, then that's not considered a significant loss. And if one of the parties wants it to be divided, they could divide it. On the other hand, if it's more than a 20% loss, there's a concept of kaifer amidas adayim. If one party is saying that I want to have it physically divided, that is being unfair because you're causing the other party a significant loss. And since you're causing the other party a significant loss, the halacha is we sell it and we divide the money.